This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قد أفلح من تزكى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to yet another episode in our short series discussing tazkiyatun nafs or purification of the soul. In our last episode, we continued discussing the principles pertaining to a tazkiyah or the purification process and how we can bring about this process in our lives, irrespective of our environments. And the last principle we discussed, just to refresh our memories, was that for tazkiyah to happen, we need a guide, but not just any guide, but rather the king of tazkiyah, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught. And we said it's important that we are true to his way, and that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be worshipped. And we know how Allah wants to be worshipped through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. And we discussed the kalima and said that when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that actually means that we have no way to Allah except via the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the sunnah, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. That whoever establishes a practice that we are not upon, then that practice is rejected. So I share with you this particular teaching from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we understand how important it is to stick to the method of purification that he has shared. Because any other way he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us is a rejected way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. And also, brothers and sisters, and my dear mothers and fathers, in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, we have a narration. These are two books of hadith, or the books of hadith that are known as the most authentic books of hadith. We have a narration in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّ بَعْدِ أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I've left with you all two things, and if you hold steadfast onto them both, you will never ever go astray. These two things are the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or as he said, my sunnah, meaning the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think what we have shared is enough for us to understand the importance of sticking to the way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of our purification process. And all success lies in following the sunnah. And as the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in said, that there was nothing good except that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it to us, and there was nothing bad except that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us against it. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't teach us it, then even though it may seem good, well, we say it's not good enough, because if it was, he would have taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This brings us to the next principle number, for those who are counting, 5. And This principle teaches us that tazkiyah entails two processes. And that is known in the Arabic language as at-takhliyah wa at-tahliyah. So tazkiyah, or the fifth principle, teaches us that tazkiyah is at-takhliyah and at-tahliyah. What is at-takhliyah and what is at-tahliyah? Well, at-takhliyah refers to removing impurities. And at-tahliyah refers to beautifying something, or the surface that has just been cleaned, as well as polishing it. So at-takhliyah refers to removing the impurity. So now the surface is clean because the impurity has been removed. And then we have at-tahliyah, which is to beautify that surface. We might beautify it through adorning it with a wonderful scent, or with probably repainting the surface, and so on and so forth. When we purify ourselves, or spiritual purification, our Sharia teaches us that this happens through at-takhliyah and at-tahliyah. So purification of the soul entails these two concepts: to remove the impurity, as well as to polish that which has just been cleaned. So we purify the self as well as polish it. Now, I want to take you back to our first episode when we defined tazkiyah linguistically. And for those who recall, we said that linguistically it refers to two things. Number one is at-tahara or at-tathir, this process of purifying something. And the second meaning that it has is az-ziyada, or to progress something and to grow something. Right, so it carries these two meanings, and with these two meanings, we can understand why at-tazkiyah involves at-takhliyah and tahliyah, because at-takhliyah refers to purifying something, which is tahara or at-tathir, and if we practice the concept of at-tahliyah, which is to polish it, then this is true to the other meaning of tazkiyah, which is az-ziyada or an-nama. To increase something, to beautify it further, to develop it, to grow it, to mature it, and so on and so forth. So this whole process of purifying ourselves entails these two important concepts. Once again, at-takhliyah with a kha, and the second one, at-tahliyah with a ha. At-takhliyah refers to purifying something. At-tahliyah refers to polishing it. So this is what the fifth principle of at-tazkiyah is. Now, how do we know this? Well, Allah, or rather, before we say how do we know it, we must ask ourselves what constitutes at-takhliyah and what constitutes at-tahliyah. Well, takhliyah, or that which constitutes it, as taught to us by our scholars, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon them all. Ameen. They teach us that this happens through leaving sin, and seeking forgiveness for the sin that a person has fallen into. So this is at-takhliyah. At-takhliyah refers to leaving sin, and if you have sinned, then you practice this concept known as istighfar. And if it's a major sin, then at-tawbah, right? Which is to seek repentance. And just for your information, the major sins as taught to us by our scholars is removed by at-tawbah, whilst the minor sins are removed by simply istighfar, to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is a more acute act of worship that has its conditions and has its principles. So, for example, when we see in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that between an umrah and another umrah is kafara for one's sins, or is a purification process for one's sins, our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, teach us that what he refers to here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the minor sins, because the major sins require a tawbah. Coming back to our principle, and this whole concept of takhliyah or purification, then this happens through leaving sin, as well as seeking forgiveness for sin that we actually fell into, which happens through istighfar, and happens through a tawbah. And as for tahliyah, then this happens by engaging in doing good deeds and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and manifesting good deeds with our bodies, with our hearts, with our tongues, and so on and so forth. All the good deeds further beautify the surface that's just been cleaned. And that's why from our pious predecessors, when they were asked, especially during the seasons of worship — when I say seasons of worship, I mean like Ramadan, like the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, For example, these are considered seasons of worship in our Sharia. And they are asked, what should we do? Should we seek istighfar or should we practice the tasbih, which is to say subhanallah, and the takbir, which is to say Allahu Akbar, and the tahmid, which is to say alhamdulillah. What should we do more? The pious predecessors would respond in answer to this particular question by saying, at-takhliya qabla tahliya. At-takhliya qabla tahliya. That purify the surface, then beautify it. So start with istighfar and be diligent with it. And then when the surface is purified, beautify it with at-tahliya, with the tasbih and the tahmid and the takbir and so on and so forth. So how do we know that tazkiyah happens through leaving sin and this whole process of at-tahliya? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell the believing men to reduce from their vision or some of their vision and guard their private parts. That is purer for them. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what they do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, for those who ponder, is commanding us to stay away from sin. And Allah says that this is purer for that particular person or for the person who does so. And our discussion is about purity and purifying of the self. So, in essence, we learn from this particular ayah through deduction that leaving sin entails the purification of one's self. And as I said earlier, beautifying it happens by doing good deeds. And good deeds happens by the use of one's tongue, by saying subhanallah, by saying alhamdulillah, by saying Allahu Akbar, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying mashaAllah, and so on and so forth. And it happens through bodily worship, like fasting, like salah, like going for hajj. And it also happens through the ibadat al-qalbiyya, or the acts of worship of the heart, like developing one's fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one's good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one's hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and developing one's taqwa and this ability to place a barrier between oneself and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. And to substantiate what I've just said, that tazkiyah entails the second part, which is known as at-tahliya, or the purification process, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed the entirely successful one, and note this term أَفْلَحَ, we discussed it in previous episodes, that it's a universal term that entails all of success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the entirely successful one, or indeed the entirely successful one, is the one who purifies, تَزَكَّى. How? ذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ, he remembered the name of Allah, of his Rabb. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. This is the polishing process, the beautification process, a process. فَصَلَّى, and he also observed the bodily acts of beautifying oneself, which is salah. And just for your information, brothers and sisters, in this particular ayah, the scholars of tafsir, or some of them, have explained this ayah to denote this whole concept after Ramadan. After Ramadan, because after Ramadan, a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what? With the takbir. This is what we do before the Eid prayer, and then we observe Salatul Eid. We observe Salatul Eid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكْ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Indeed, the entirely successful one is the one who purifies himself. How? By fasting the month of Ramadan and standing the nights of Ramadan and remembering Allah and being charitable and so on and so forth. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. And when the month comes to an end, before the Eid prayer, they announce the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. فَصَلَّى. And they observe the Eid prayer. So all this together teaches us how purification of the soul entails at-tahliya as well. So to summarize it, my dear brothers and sisters, this particular principle teaches us that tazkiyah is at-tahliya and at-tahliya, to cleanse something, clean the impurity, and then to beautify it. Just like you and I would do when we purchase a new home or move into a flat. It has dust, it has perhaps some insects, perhaps the walls have some impurities on them. We don't just, you know, crack open the bucket of paint and start painting, right? We first remove the impurities. We first clean the dust, right? And after that, now we polish and beautify it, putting a new coat of paint, spraying the home, and so on and so forth. It's time to take a break. Inshallah, when we come back, we will continue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.